Scitis quid fecerem vobis, the deacon just now sang, know you what I have done to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There's an air of foreboding which always hangs about Holy Thursday. Thus, the dark skies and the heavy humidity are almost welcome today. Underlying beneath the triumph of the bells and the gold and all of the awesome solemnity of this pontifical mass, the terrible tragedy of betrayal and of Calvary. And we are busy with both, aren't we? As was our Lord that first Holy Thursday. I've given you just a little rundown of all that we have to do before we go to rest. And don't forget the good men and women of the Guard of Honor who will be keeping turns all night long, watching and praying in our place, so that our Lord will have at least someone each hour, as he requested, to watch 1 hour with me. And should we not watch, and should we not weep, and should we not rejoice, how much our Lord has done for us on this Holy Thursday. Today he gives us the memorial of all that he has done, making it to be present, his death, his life, his passion, his resurrection in our midst by means of the blessed sacrament and sacrifice of the Eucharist. Today our Lord finishes and fulfills the Old Testament for the last time, eating the proper Passover meal with the sacrificed lamb. But tomorrow he becomes the lamb sacrificed for us, and the veil of the temple will be torn in two. Today, our Lord washed his disciples' feet and instituted the Maundy, the sacramental we still continue centuries later. Today, he instituted the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Mass, the blessed sacrament, Holy Communion. Holy Orders, the sacrament whereby the priesthood perpetuates this presence of our Lord in our midst, his sacrifice, our spiritual food. He forgives us our sins, too, by means of his priests, still today, all in view of the blessed sacrament and a worthy Holy Communion. Indeed, St. Thomas teaches that all of the sacraments of the Church are centered on the blessed sacrament, which has its birthday today, thus the joyous ringing of the bells. But today, too, at the Last Supper, our Lord, at Peter's probing and insistence, identified the betrayer, and he identified him by giving him a sign of being the favorite of friendship. He dips a morsel into the dish, and he gives it to him. That was a sign closeness, intimacy. And then he takes it and goes out into the darkness, Judas does. When the Last Supper and the First Mass are concluded, our Savior goes with the apostles to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he begins to pray and to enter into his terrible agony, and he starts to sweat blood, and he is tempted beyond all measure and pressed down with the weight of the sins of the world. And an angel must come from heaven, Raphael perhaps, or Gabriel, to comfort and strengthen him, else he would have died right there in Gethsemane. Today, his three chosen ones, who were quite close to him, are all caught sleeping not once, but 3 times, St. Luke says. And today, at the end of that terrible agony, Judas betrays the Master with a kiss, and all of this for 30 miserable pieces of silver, and a way to assuage his wounded pride, because his plans for publicity and success were not accepted. Today, then, our Lord, after being betrayed, is arrested and beaten and loaded with chains, and they give him a black eye almost right away. Today, he is taken back and forth between the house of Annas and of Caiaphas, the high priests, for a mock trial with the Sanhedrin, and outraged and slapped and subjected to false accusations. And meanwhile, Peter was chosen to be prince of the apostles, drawn by devotion, surely, into the courtyard of the high priest, sitting, warming himself at the fire. First he must sleep, and then he needs to stay warm. Why, he denies Christ in front of some lowly servants and nothing more. And finally, when it is all over, and they, his persecutors, want to get their sleep, our Lord has a rope tied around his waist, remember, and he's lowered into a dungeon to spend the last hours of that short night alone in the darkness of solitary confinement. Our tabernacle today, the urn of the altar of repose, the sepulchre, the tabernacle throughout the year, perpetuates not only the moments of sunshine and of victory, the benedictions and the processions and the first communions and the last, but also our Savior's sad hours when the powers of darkness are loosed upon him. Thus, the tabernacle is still the prison of that first Holy Thursday, a gloomy dungeon of infamy, where our Lord, abandoned to the mockeries of the guard, once suffered all the insults and all of the malicious mockery, all of the outrage which brutal soldiers, inflamed with drink, could think up. All of these cruelties, all of these insults inflicted on our King on that first Holy Thursday are, however, less than one thorn in comparison with the terrible crown of profanation and of sacrilege, of loneliness, of desertion, of unworthy compromise, and an almost willing forgetfulness, and of blasphemy after blasphemy, to which our Lord has always been subjected, but particularly in our own lifetimes, in this past generation or two. And they go after our Lord, the enemies do, who carefully, Caiaphas-like, have it all planned out, because he is Jesus. And they employ in their work the stupid and the brutal ignorance of men who see there perhaps some unworthy advantage, some bit of power or money or pleasure they can gain for themselves. The tabernacle is, however, a monument of living love, but also of pain, far more than was that midnight dungeon in the house of Caiaphas. The same Jesus is outraged in both. The tabernacle will never fall into decay, and he who is eternally profaned will ever continue to be with us, the prisoner of love. It is only his love that holds him chained and locked in the dark confines of a tabernacle. Amongst all of those somber hours of Jesus yesterday and today, surely the most terrible were those of his agony in the garden, as they are of his Eucharistic life today. He has ever before him, our Lord does, that same vision of sin, that same bitter chalice, that same, oh, sleepy lethargy of those who call themselves his friends, and that same undying hatred and ambition on the part of the traitors. They're on watch. They never fall asleep. But remember what our Lord has asked of us, and it is surely a simple and a little request in return. He asks of us that hour, that watch. That's the genius of the all-night adoration, just once a month. That's the motivating factor of our Holy Thursday adoration all day and of all night. Be faithful to this homage of love, and seek out, if you could, fervent friends to join you here. Why should our Lord be reduced to perhaps one solitary and maybe fatigued adorer? Shouldn't our Lord receive at least a monthly homage and the homage of this night as well? Why should our Lord still have to look at us, the least and the littlest of all, but alas, the only ones who are left, and to say, I looked for one that would comfort me, and I found none. Show real enthusiasm, as you do, for all of the sacrifices for Holy Week, but for Holy Week, which is continued in the Blessed Sacrament all year long. And when you come to adore and to make our Lord your reparation and to watch an hour with him, what should you do if not to take up your cares and your anxieties, your problems and your pains and your perplexities as well, and unite them all with that which our Lord suffered during his passion, and offer them up thus united to the eternal Father? You will assuage our Lord's sorrows. And this is the secret. You will assuage. That means, children, you will lessen your own sufferings too. He who suffers by himself suffers terribly. There is no reason why a single of you, children of our good Lord and Savior, should ever any more suffer by yourself. Nor should you leave our Lord to do so in his solitary midnight dungeon of the tabernacle. Show real enthusiasm. Make every sacrifice to multiply the number of those who will adore him in the Blessed Sacrament all week and all year, but especially for our all-night adoration. And our Lord in return promises, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. Hear our Lord in this blessed sacrament, as at the elevation today, will be lifted up from earth on the permanent Calvary of the altar in a never-ceasing, mystical offering up and immolation of love. God will fulfill his promise if we fulfill ours. And our Lord, then, seemingly at the lowest point, is our Lord down there, hidden someplace, under the concrete of the floor of Caiaphas' palace? Seemingly at the lowest point of all, our Lord will lift himself up in victory. And we, like the women at the tomb, will be the faithful witnesses of his triumph. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.